Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 340. Well, welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Tarullo. I serve as pastor of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Countryside, Illinois. And with me on the other end of this computer line is Rob McKenzie, and Rob serves as an elder at Westminster. Hey, Rob, Merry Christmas.
Hello. Merry Christmas.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know what I'm thankful for this Christmas? Because at Christmas time, that you know, we should reflect upon the things that we're thankful for, and I'm thankful that my pastor can speak.
Yes, yes,
yes.
And I'm thankful for that as well. And it wasn't so much that I couldn't speak; it was affecting my throat, right? In the sense that I had a bad cough. Anyway, I was out sick this past week, basically, and it was basically flu-like symptoms, in the sense of like. The fatigue and cough and fever and feverish and then it moved from the chest to the head back to the chest again, and you know, all that kind of fun stuff that goes back and forth. Yeah. And it lingered. It was one of those things that you thought was going to come and go, and that's what, you know. Yeah. It didn't. It came and it stayed, and it just yesterday broke a little bit. Actually, Sunday I started feeling a little bit better. And for all those pastors out there that, well, may or may not listen, I don't know if they listen to this thing or not, but it's one of those weird feelings when you start to feel a little better on a Sunday morning, but you had no energy or time to actually prepare a sermon. It's like, do you go in and when you already have someone ready to preach in your place, and you go, no, it's my turn. I need to preach.
Yeah, but like you're going to like come and knock him out of the pulpit,
right?
Jeremy and Ian. Jeremy, one of them.
No, Ian. So it was good to actually have that extra rest. And I did rest quite a bit on the Lord's Day in my sickness, and listened to a worship service from Gainesville, Florida. Listened to the end of a prayer from our good friend Charles Williams. I got in on a little late. And then
you just listen to the closing prayer.
No, the pastoral.
And then you could write him and say, hey, listen to you last week.
The pastoral prayer. And listen to the end of the pastoral prayer, because I got into the service late. And then Pastor Joel Fick there, they served together, and he preached a fantastic sermon on Ruth chapter 2, the first, I think it's the first five verses. Just fantastic. And so that was a blessing. And then I kind of mumbled, O come, O come, Emmanuel, with them afterward.
Because every day you were sending us updates about how you're doing. It was getting worse. It was getting bad. And when you sent us the picture of you and the iron lung, that's when we knew we should probably get pulpit support. It was like, yeah.
So
okay, we get it. You know,
my apologies for all the coughing here, friends. When I do, I haven't talked a lot. And when I do talk now, and I am talking more than normal, obviously it comes back just a little bit here. And I should say, if you hear, thumpings around, I have my son who's back from Budapest, praise the Lord. It's really great to have him back with us. He's got 16 or so friends from college and from his college church that he goes to, Bethel OPC. They're all hanging out upstairs. We just had some spaghetti, and they have a little Christmas greeting for everyone at the end of the, at this podcast that I'll pop in.
Wait, you've already had dinner?
I have already had dinner, yeah.
Well, I have to wait for dinner while I do
you
the
can
podcast.
Eat. I'm not going to stop you. Where's Melody? Isn't she got you serving food
yet? She's making my dinner.
Okay, yeah. Well, we had a little early because all the kids are here. We don't normally have dinner.
Okay, because it's really, it's kind of dinner time now. But yeah. Well, yeah, but.
I just ate it like 10 minutes ago, Rob.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So sorry. A little early. Spaghetti. Nathaniel made it. I mean, he made spaghetti and he made the spaghetti sauce and he made bread. He made an herb garlic bread that actually is quite fantastic. Good. So, yeah. And we actually have some people from our church, too, here as well. So, Daniel. Okay. Jeff. Yeah. So, right, hey, shout out to all those kids. Thank you. Thank you for the little Christmas wish that you're going to send to all of our listeners all over the world and on our Christmas special, which we know there are all of the children out there who are ready and waiting to listen to because they can't open their gifts until hand. And I did receive confirmation that is the case for at least one unlucky family.
Well, I believe it. Well, we know it's, we distinctly know of two.
Oh, you know,
we distinctly,
yeah, I got an email from a very, very good source, the dad, that says that they don't allow their kids to, and I need to talk to these children, make sure they don't hate us.
Oh no. I, in my mind, it's most of the children in Christendom that must wait until they listen to our podcast and then they can open the, I think it's a tradition that goes back at least the third century.
Kind of like the Christmas
archaeological
tree. Yeah.
Yes. Well, archaeological evidence
has kids waiting for the TSP to air.
Yeah. Well, I believe, and I don't have the exact quote, but I believe it was Charles Spurgeon who said, "Thou must wait until you listen to TSP before you allow thy children to open their gifts."
Awesome, Rob.
I think that was there. But this actually has been a very, it's been a strange month. I think maybe it's because Thanksgiving was so late, but it seemed like Christmas, you know, that we got into December and we, you know, kind of got in the Christmassy mood. Mm-hmm. We decorated, Darth Vader started, our Christmas. Cause that's, you know, it's not Christmas until Darth Vader, you know, speaks from our tree. And it seems like that was the second or third of December. And now fast forward, it's just spring. Went by. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 2 days before Christmas now. And it went by quickly.
It did go by quickly, but it does feel like spring as well.
That's true.
You know, I went out for a walk today with my dog and wife and goodness gracious, I started sweating. It was so warm out. I mean, it was almost 50 degrees.
No, well, here it was 53.
Wow. Like, okay.
It was the hottest it got. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, but at Thanksgiving, we had 2 feet of snow on the ground almost.
That's very true. That's very true. It's another strange thing about this Christmas is, and I don't know why this is, but I keep seeing clips on the news, or I don't watch the news much, but you know, I get the headlines from different sources on the internet, and it seems like there have been more Santa fights this year. And I'm not sure why that is, but you know, Santa's fighting over territory. I mean, not the real Santa. Obviously the real Santa is in the North Pole. He's busy. These are his helpers. Obviously these are the more angry helpers and they keep getting in fights.
Are these
the
fallen helpers?
Maybe. I don't know. Every time I look at a news site, they've got a couple Santas duking it out. I don't know. It's a very angry Christmas this year for
I'm sorry to say, Rob, I just really have no concept of what that looks like since
you've never seen two Santas fighting?
No, on TV. But I meant I haven't seen the news these news articles. Oh, okay. So poor Santas or bad Santas.
Bad Santas.
Bad Santas. Yeah. That's not the Christmas spirit, not at all.
Yeah, if they were Easter bunnies, I'd understand, but
well, that's what bunnies do. I mean,
it's not Santas. Yeah.
Yeah. This is strange.
And have you been able to watch Die Hard yet?
No, but I'm wondering if we'll show it tonight to the student body that's here. That might throw that on if people stay late enough, or that might be our Christmas Eve extravaganza with the kids. Although I do usually read the account of a visit from St. Nicholas on Christmas Eve to the family. So I don't know. That might be something that happens in the new year instead of, but it is the best Christmas movie. So,
it's one. Well, one of them.
It is hard to put a number one on just one. Cause I do really like the Santa Claus movies. I'm, you know,
It's a Wonderful Life. No.
That's there. But they're sappy, right? I mean, that's enjoyable. I do like What's a Wonderful Life, but I do also enjoy. I like the action of Die Hard. I enjoy the comedy of the original. I mean, the other ones are good as well, but the original. The Santa Claus. Yeah, I just think it was a great concept, having the Santa Claus. I just think it's really just, I thought that was brilliant.
Okay, that's the thing. One of the wonderful things about Christmas is you can have your own likes and dislikes and your own traditions, and Christmas can look very different, and everybody can enjoy
all sorts of different families.
All sorts of different families can enjoy all sorts of weird, strange things.
You doing anything special with your tradition this year?
No. Family's going to be coming over Christmas night. So not Christmas morning, but Christmas like late afternoon and into the evening.
Does that mean you wait for presents and such, like with you and your wife, until everyone gets there, or in the exchange and opening, all that?
Look, I can do a lot of things, but keeping Melody from opening her Christmas gifts on Christmas morning, I don't know what kind of special jewel I will receive in heaven, but there's got to be something there because, she gets rabid.
Rabid?
Rabid, yes.
I thought we were going back to Easter there for a second. I thought you said she got rabid.
No. No, she gets, you know, I value my life. So we have to open our gifts early.
Okay.
Or well, on Christmas, early in the morning on Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day.
That's right. Well, actually, that's right. I forgot what I was going to open with this and I totally forgot about it. I hate Christmas and you are trying to destroy Christmas for your family.
Okay.
Do you get your tree this year?
Okay. All right. Them's fighting words, Rob. So what Mr. McKenzie over here is referring to is that this is the first year in 27 years of marriage that my wife and I have not had a real tree. And it's a very sad moment in the life of the Tarullo family, because it's the first time in my 51 years of life that I've not had a real tree.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. It was a tradition to go out and cut the tree down with, you know, parents and family. And it was our tradition as husband and wife with the kids and little ones. We do the same thing when we're in Connecticut. There's tree farms nearby. Coming to Chicago is a little harder to go. We didn't learn. You have to go farther away to actually go cut trees down. So we didn't. So we, you know, go to the lots and buy them, and they come in from Michigan and stuff, or Minnesota or Wisconsin. And we were buying the trees every year. But this year we're doing something we've never done before. And that is the day after Christmas, we're leaving. We're going for the warm weather. I mean, not that it's not warm here, but we're heading to Florida and to visit very close friends, and so we just didn't want to have to deal with a tree, and so we purchased a tree that has now been named by my two girls as Jake the Fake.
Yes, so it's a good name,
Jake the Fake, which looks pretty good, actually. Once it's all, it came with all lit up and everything. And, you know, you can bend to the branches in all the particular places to, you know, make it nice and full and not look like it has any openings. It's actually quite good looking.
And you can get the fresh pine scent.
Well, we don't spray that kind of stuff. So we actually, you'll laugh at this even more than you already are. So, you know, we have those diffusers for essential oils. And so one of my daughters was like, you know, can you get some balsam fir essential oil? And I did. And so you put balsam fir essential oil in the diffuser and you have that going, and it smells just like you got a Christmas tree in the house, you know? So we've got the bases covered here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, well, and I mean, and you know, I don't hate Christmas.
Okay. Like
Christmas.
All right.
Yes.
Your tree says otherwise. Maybe I missed it. What state are you going to? You going to Florida?
Florida. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. And, to the church that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
I mean, to the same town that I mentioned earlier where those brothers, where I got to hear their sermon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Redemption OPC Gainesville. I mean, I'm not going to the church. I'm going to the town. I have friends there, but I'll go to the church on Sunday. Yeah.
Right. And are all the kids going?
Yeah. We're all driving down together. Minivan traveling. We have someone staying at the house, you know, watching the doggy. And
wait, somebody's actually staying at the house?
Yeah. Yeah. We got a house. Well,
you could have had a real tree.
No, then they'd have to take care of the tree and it would die by the time we get back. So
what do you mean die? You cut it down. It's already dead.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, where all the needles and they, you know,
much more fun.
The past few trees we've gotten that you buy off the lot, the needles start falling off like right when you get it. So it's not like fresh cut. Like I used to do when I was younger.
Yeah. I honestly don't know what that's like when I was very,
so you've hated very Christmas much. Your whole life. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. I hate most things. I remember being very young, like, you know, 4 or 5 and going to the lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were in Chicago, so we went to lots. I did not know that people actually went and cut down Christmas trees, like their own Christmas tree.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that people did that till I was in my late teens.
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it was like, you got to be kidding me. Don't they get arrested?
Wait, no, you pay money to do it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I realize that now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. And I can, you're in and very near a city. So that's the most convenient thing to do. They bring the trees to you. You have these lots. They're in grocery store lots. They're in mall lots. They're in church lots. They're all over the place. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, we had this wonderful tradition of going to this place called Jones Family Farm in Connecticut. It was literally within 20 minutes from our house. And, you know, they had fire pits set up for you. They had hot cider, you know, places for the kids to go. And so you make an event out of it and you'd get some hot cocoa. They'd have a little gift shop. And then with every tree, you get yourself a nice pewter ornament. That has the year on it. So we have these ornaments that we're putting up annually when we put on our Christmas tree, and it's like, oh, this is, you know, it was Nathaniel's first. It was Christie's first, because they all have the, you know, the year they were born. And so there's so much nostalgia and memories from going there that, you know, we're sad that we didn't find one here early on. I mean, we've been here 13 years now, so. And the kids are, you know, getting grown up almost. So it's a very different feel to it now. Although we did have tears, you know, I mean, bawling. I mean, just bawling when we told them that we weren't getting a tree. So, but
How long did you cry?
It was a long time, Rob. Thank you. Yes.
Well, you're a crying family.
We are a crying family. Yes. Yeah. No, well, we're a very emotional family. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you are very much no judgment more than I normally have.
Yes.
You know, it's you know, I was talking with some people. Whenever we do, we have fun doing the Christmas special. Yeah. We do always talk a little serious about
a little bit, yeah.
And you know, I was talking with people who have suffered some real tragedy in their life. You know, several years ago. And now they've got family that they get together with Christmas. They do a lot of the traditional Christmas stuff, but now they kind of feel like they're you know, spectators. They're not angry. They don't hate, you know, Christmas or people happy. It's just and they're not bitter, you know. They're content with the Lord, and and content with what the, you know, where they are now, and they understand that, you know, in this life tragedies will happen, and while, you know, they miss the people that are gone, that they've lost, it's just hard for them to look, to have that joy at Christmas. And which is sad. And I'm, you know, I mean, I've probably have talked about this before on the podcast. I'm sure I have, you know, that when I was 11, my dad died. So I understand that tragedy, sudden tragedy, because he, one night he died. Mm-hmm. So, and it wasn't like a long illness that he was dying. He just died. Mm-hmm. So, and I, you know, that first, and it was September. So by the time we got to Thanksgiving and Christmas, there was still that lingering, you know, it just didn't feel right kind of thing. So I do kind of get that. But I was also a child. So I'm, you know, mm-hmm. now, because I love Christmas and I love this time and all the fun things that go along with it. So it's not as if, it's easier for a child. Children are very resilient. So it's easier for a child to go through something like that and be able to then find the joy mm-hmm. in life and in Christmas and things like that. So as a pastor, how would you counsel somebody who, you know, they don't want, they want to find a little more joy in life, and they're not angry, they're not bitter, but they want to find that joy in life.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a question, I mean, in the context of this, there's lots of questions that would go back and forth, of course. So that I don't have that privilege at the moment, but is it all the time, or is it a, you know, feeling like a spectator, or is it like the Christmas season, right? The holiday season that
I think what it is, the holiday seasons, it's heightened.
Yeah.
But there is kind of an all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's an aspect of grief, right? I mean, it's just an aspect of grief. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we wonder whether or not we have the right to be, to grieve and to be sad, given all of the exhortations to rejoice, right? And we think of that as to be happy and to have some sense of a enthusiasm about life. I think we sometimes equate those things. And I think, you know, if someone is grieving loss, especially, they're certainly, and the dynamics are different for all sorts of people, all different, you know, stages, whether it's, you know, tragedy, expected, all there's all sorts of different things going on that's going to affect how someone responds and what this looks like. But I would want someone to, I mean, knowing that the person's not bitter, that they're not, you know, angry with the Lord, all that, those things are all quite beneficial, and that's where you want someone to be. But they've kind of like lost their zip in life, or some type of great delight that they might have had at a previous time in life. And, you know, sometimes grief just saps you, right? It just does take, I don't want to say take the life out of you, because that's not accurate, but it feels like it. It just, because there's an overwhelming sense of sadness or a sense that I'm never going to feel well again, or feel right again. And that's actually probably true, because there has been someone in your life. And if we're talking spouse, you know, or even a child that had such a great part of your life, then that part is now gone, especially if that person, you know, died unexpectedly. And so for us to try to cover that up as though it didn't happen would be very, I think, wrong. To allow someone time, and for that person to allow themselves the time to dwell, reminisce, talk about the person, the thing that they're grieving over, the person they're grieving over, with other loved ones, with dear friends, and to be saturated in prayer during that time. People saturating you with prayer, praying for you is what I mean by that. And for your life, since you're not bitter, you're not angry, to be continually in the rhythm of worship and continually in the rhythm of being ministered to by God, to find the comfort, and I notice I say comfort, not the joy necessarily or the delight or the zip in life. But if someone is looking for that again, if they're desiring that, right, and especially around the holiday season where it might lay hold, I think that just that there's a lot that's going to take time in that. But surrounding yourself with friends and family, not hiding away, will be helpful. But also, you know, that person that you lost, that's not going to just go away. So to expect that, we shouldn't expect that in my mind. We should allow for that sadness to linger. And at different times, it's going to, especially if it's a first Christmas or a first birthday, right, or a first whatever, goodness. Right. I mean, the second, the third, right? You know, you talk to people, even late stage, you know, not late stage in the sense of a cancer, that's not what I mean, but someone who's later in life, mm-hmm, you know, and, you know, passed.
Just lost somebody decades ago.
Yeah. Do you remember that my mom died? It was this day. You know, I'm just kind of thinking about it. You know, my wife has done that on the anniversary or the month anniversary of her dad's death. Mm. You know, February every year. First, it's a hard enough month because in winter areas they get winter because it's usually dark and cold.
Yeah, you don't know, come to Chicago in February.
Yeah. But you know, and that's the month that my wife's father died. That's a harder month because, you know, because of the season of the year, because of the loss of that place. And it's been a long time now. It's been a couple of decades almost. And so it's okay. I think that's what we need to recognize, is that that's okay. And that memory, that loss, that grief that might come upon us. Now, if you're a little older and you do want, you know, I don't know, to put that aside every now and then, well, you come and you listen to us. No, you be a part of a good church, first of all. Mm-hmm. And Lord willing, that good church will have some kids. Kids are a great way of brightening up people who might be sad, who might need to take their mind off of something, mm-hmm, who might need their heart redirected toward what they do have instead of what they did lose. And so there's all sorts of different ways that we can, you know, that one can talk about this. And of course, this is not direct pastoral care to any particular person out there at the moment, because everyone's going through different things. These are just general thoughts. Right. That come about, I think, and I think, you know, first just grieve, and that's okay. You know, allow yourself to do that and give yourself that time with friends and or family, depending on what the closeness of those relationships are, with Christians, with brothers and sisters, be in worship, be a part of the assembly of the saints, sing still, even if it's hard, pray and ask for prayer, or, you know, make sure people are praying for you. And time will help. It doesn't take it away, but you learn to live with loss and grief the longer it's with you, I think. Yeah. And that will change depending on the situation, of course, in the relationship.
Right. I think sometimes people confuse joy with exuberance.
Sure.
You know, and almost like, in order for me to be joyful, I have to be happy-go-lucky.
Like a little spunk in your step or something like that. Or, right, you know, and that's, yeah, what I was trying to get a sense of what you were looking at there in the question, yeah. Rob, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, I'm sorry, but that's why I said a little zip, right? If you're looking for that, there are things that can lift your spirits up and give you a sense of, and that, you know, a fun party can do that. Singing can lift your spirits, you know, things like that. Yeah. But it doesn't take away.
I think when people get stuck in this, it's often they might find themselves, like you're saying, like in a party or something mm-hmm. like that, where they actually enter that place of enjoying themselves. Mm. And there's almost a guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a guilt.
There is a guilt that comes from that. And that's very common. I mean, to a certain extent, it's like survivor's guilt, but it's in a much mm-hmm. smaller mm-hmm. scale, right? I'm the one who's alive and I shouldn't be happy right now because my very, very close loved one isn't. Right.
Go ahead. And that's not true. that we shouldn't think that, or we shouldn't dwell on that. We shouldn't allow that to take us away from the enjoyment that we're having. And I think that, especially at this time of year, when you go your relatives' houses or friends' houses, and you see people enjoying themselves, that the best way you can enjoy that is by being satisfied with their joy, with their happiness, that you're satisfied with it. You look at them and you see that, especially you're talking about children, because children, of course, you know, are excited about, Melody was saying the other day, she was talking about, to a toddler, everything is special. You know, to a 3 or 4 year old, everything's special. You give them a Christmas plate, you know, a styrofoam plate that they're going to eat something on. And they're just as happy with the plate as they are with the cookie that you're going to put on the plate. Everything's special. And so you can look at children and even with your own melancholy, which I think is a great word for this, you can find that satisfaction in their happiness mm-hmm. and let it kind of give you some contentment.
Yeah. And back to a word you used earlier, you said, you know, sometimes people feel like a spectator. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think that's actually okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what I mean by that is, and this is a personal experience I've had, and that is I can be at a gathering of people or whatever, and everyone's really enjoying. They have the energy to enjoy. There's a lot of, as you said, exuberance or joy. And I might just be sitting and looking on and, like you said, content mm-hmm. and just satisfied. And I'm a spectator at that moment in the sense that I'm not participating mm-hmm. all the festivities in the same way, but I'm really happy about what I'm seeing. I'm enjoying the fact that this is the lot the Lord has given me to have mm-hmm. friends and or family members of the congregation I'm serving, whatever the context I might be in, enjoying one another's company. And the Lord has blessed me with these friends and family as a part. And I can sit there contented, satisfied, thanking the Lord for that. Even if I don't have either the spiritual energy or the emotional energy, whatever it might be, physical energy, to sort of participate, I might just be sitting back, looking on, thank you, Lord. And I think that's an okay spectatorship you can have in a context like that. Even if you yourself are dwelling, reflective, you know, sometimes we get kind of really reflective and we kind of, you know, go inward quite a bit. And sometimes we can get stuck there. But if we, you know, take a look at what the Lord's given us and the things that are going on around us, we're at that party still, we're hanging out, we're with the friends and family, the gathering, and we can just sort of sit back on the couch or at the dining table, whatever it is, and say, I'm not able to do what they're doing, but look at this. This is good stuff. Thank you. And that's, I think that's an okay way to handle, even if you're in the midst of sadness and grief at the time.
Well, I think that's a good place to kind of turn it back. I mean, by now we probably have children that are wanting to open their gifts, and we are not tyrants normally. So I think I want to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
The word bless.
Or Happy Christmas. Which one is it?
Happy Christmas.
That's another, that's next year's podcast.
Depends on which side of the pond you're on.
Actually, all right. This is, I know we just wanted to end it, but goodness. I read an article on it. on the scandalous division between Merry Christmas and Happy Christmas. Maybe for another next
year. Stay tuned next year.
Well, now everyone's going to go look it up, but and they'll have the answer before.
Oh, no, no, they'll wait.
They'll wait. They'll wait. Okay. Yeah, they'll wait. Well, once again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Of course, you can find us at reformedforum.org and all of the wonderful good resources there. But also do check us out at westminsteropc.org, where you will find, the congregation that Rob and I serve. You can find out more about us there. We wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Until next time.
Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Double time!
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well done. Thank you.
That was great.